all you need, God of all, the Lord of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. We call upon your name this evening as we come to break our fast.
According to the teachings of Islam, Ramadan commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. The word has become the foundation for one of the world's great religions.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. Are we fighting a holy war?
You know, I don't know if that was my exact quote.
Exact words.
As again we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Give me a break. Something happened on the road to Damascus. John fell off his horse, but he got back up on the same horse.
Well, times are tough. There's no doubt about it. And if the people who know more about the economy than I ever will are right, they may get a little tougher before they get better. Have you rediscovered some hidden virtue, such as being frugal and thrifty? Maybe you were always frugal and thrifty. We're going to be talking about the rediscovery of this virtue of thrift, especially in times that are difficult. Colleen Carol Campbell's our guest for the first few minutes of the program. We'll also discuss the Palin effect with her. She's a columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's Thursday, September the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and this is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Feel free to give us a call or send us your email during this hour. Our call-in number is 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. And our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later in the program, we'll conclude our series on the Reformation solas, that is, the great alones of the Reformation, with Scripture Alone, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio program, The White Horse Inn, will be our guest. Colleen Carol Campbell is a regular guest. She's St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center and author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Have you personally recently rediscovered thrift as a virtue?
Well, you know, I've been forced to. My husband and I were never wild spenders, but we recently started car shopping, and with gas prices topping $4 sometimes, they're sneaking back down, but I have a suspicion they're going to sneak back up again. Our thoughts about the next car are turning more and more to gas mileage, and I was struck by this. It sort of prompted this week's column in the Post-Dispatch on thrift, as I noticed that, you know, just a couple of years ago, all the dealers had these neon green signs on the cars, you know, leather seats, sunroof, bragging about the legroom, and now every sign says 30 miles per gallon, 28 miles per gallon. So certainly in our car preferences as Americans, and personally, yes, we've seen a comeback for thrift.
So what does it mean? Is this just kind of the, as far as you can see, just kind of the knee-jerk reaction to an economy that is, in some people's minds, suddenly taken a turn for the worse, or in others people's minds, you know, saw this coming years ago? Is it just a knee-jerk reaction? Or do you think one of those things that American virtues that Americans have possessed from the very beginning, since Benjamin Franklin, is actually going to come back to stay?
Right. Well, I think, I think there are a lot of signs that this is economy-driven, of course. The Census Bureau just came out with a report showing that a lot more adults are, parents are living with their adult children, relatives moving in together to save money, that sort of thing. We're seeing it in terms of what's in and what's out in terms of, you know, it's now less is more. That's kind of the mantra for just about everything. Thrift stores and secondhand stores around the country are reporting a surge in sales. While luxury items, and especially the folks at Las Vegas casinos, are not, they're showing a dip in revenue. So there is a lot of that. But I do think there is something deeper going on here. I think a lot of Americans have been uneasy for a while about the way we live, our sort of buy now, pay later lifestyle. There was a poll in 2004 commissioned by the In Character magazine that showed that, you know, a whopping 79% of respondents said they think Americans are less thrifty than they were 50 years ago. About the same 8 out of 10 agreed that there's a real problem with what they called our throwaway society. And about the same percentage said that we spend too much. And if you look at our billions and hundreds of billions in credit card debt every year, I think there's a lot to that. So I think there's a sense among Americans, in some ways it's a reaction to the economy, absolutely. But in other ways, it might also be just a reaction to the decades of greed is good and conspicuous consumerism that have preceded this one.
Is it a reorientation of the American dream? I was telling my daughter the other day, she actually said, well, are we headed for another Great Depression?
Right.
And I said, I don't know. I really hope not, because a lot of people were really hurt during that time, not only here in the United States, but elsewhere. But I did say to her, you know, you may be the first generation in a long time that may not do as well as your parents did. Mm-hmm. So get good grades now.
It's a motivator. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, none of us wants to see that sort of rock-bottom scenario happen, and I think that's, you know, we're all very anxious about it. But there certainly, as Christians, we can look at this and see some deeper meaning. We can at least find the silver lining in the clouds that are hovering over our landscape and our economy today. And one of those is the fact that, you know, if you can't spend all your time running around shopping and you can't buy the biggest car and the biggest house and play the logo brand name, you know, competition game as a teenager, you might have to turn to things that are simpler joys. You might have to lean on family, neighbors, and friends a little more, and you might have to lean on your faith more, and that's not a bad thing. So there certainly is an upside here, even as we have to acknowledge the great pain that a lot of people are in right now.
Let's talk a little bit about what's being called the Palin effect. You've written about that recently. Who is driving the Palin effect?
Well, you know, everyone's been trying to figure that out. They've floated a lot of different answers. We're hearing that it might be Hillary Clinton supporters who are disaffected and unhappy with Obama. Independents and swing voters seem to be attracted to her, at least a portion of them. Small businessmen, fiscal conservatives, the values voters, and pro-lifers certainly are excited about her. But also a lot of folks who hadn't given the Republican Party a look in a while, blue-collar workers and union members who identify with her background and her husband's, Reagan Democrats who are thinking of sticking with the Republican Party because they see someone who seems to share their values. And there was one speculation that I thought was kind of funny, Walmart moms, which I'm not sure quite what that means. I suppose just moms who shop at Walmart. But, you know, there's a really broad appeal to Sarah Palin, and I think it's got a lot of the media elite stumped.
I was talking with my producer earlier today, and I was expressing a little bit of disappointment with Sarah Palin's kind of lack of clear answers to some questions about foreign policy and the economy in a recent big television interview that she did. And Jeff said, look, her appeal is that she doesn't have all the answers. Now, I usually trust Jeff's judgment. What do you think?
That's an interesting answer. You know, well, first off, Charlie Gibson made some blunders of his own that didn't come out till later. He was trying to say that she had given exact words to the effect of, you know, the Iraq war was God's specific will. And in fact, if you go look at her quote, that wasn't what she said. And ABC never really owned up to that till later. So a couple of the gotcha questions there on which she appeared to stumble were pretty unfair when you look at the quotes they were based on. With that said, you know, there's going to be a steep learning curve for someone who is the governor of a large but not terribly populous state and suddenly thrust into presidential politics. And she's gotten tons of scrutiny, a lot more, I think, than any other candidate in the race at this point. So, you know, there is going to be a learning curve. People are going to be watching how she does in that vice presidential debate here in St. Louis. That's going to be important. So there's still a lot of people making up their minds. But, you know, I think there is something to the fact that people sense that she's lived a life similar to their own. She's got 5 kids. They're not perfect kids. She's got a special needs child that she chose to welcome into life even when it was tough. She's a working mom. She knows what it means not to be born with a silver spoon in her mouth. So I think there is that attraction to the ordinariness of her life, but I don't think she should be dismissed as an ordinary person. I think you have to admit any woman who is the first female and youngest governor of her state and after 2 years has taken on her party and wound up in a vice presidential running slot is not just some ordinary candidate. I think she's obviously got some gifts. As to whether she's going to be able to survive a very bruising campaign, that remains to be seen, but I wouldn't count her out just yet.
Before we let you go, and speaking of the campaign in which she is involved, Senator McCain decided to suspend campaigning for a bit to return to Washington and act as the elected senator that he is from the state of Arizona. What do you make of that move?
Well, I think it's an admirable move. I was disappointed to see that Barack Obama did not want to follow that move, so it looks like one side's going to keep campaigning while the other doesn't. So I'm not sure. I think McCain will either have to back off that and get back to the trail, or Obama might make up a lot of points. On the other hand, people might see it as a very presidential move, and I think in some ways it does speak to McCain's character as someone who tends to put his duties ahead of his party, sometimes to a fault, some would say, but I think that is very much in keeping with his character.
And am I right? He has backed out of the first debate for the same reason. Do you think that's going to hurt him? About 30 seconds.
Well, I think that could be a problem. I think this is a very tough time, though, so Americans may be able to understand, but he's going to have to make, obviously, a very forceful appearance when he does debate Obama, because a lot of people are waiting for those debates to make up their minds.
You can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, and you'll find these columns, a link to these columns from Colleen Carroll Campbell. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
When we come back from this break, the rest of this hour of Issues Etc. devoted to a very important subject. You hear the term. In fact, most people who don't know Latin, one word of Latin, will recognize the words sola scriptura, that is, scripture alone. What does it really mean? Do the people who hold to the view really understand what the view actually is? We'll talk sola scriptura, scripture alone, with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on the other side of this break. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.